Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, enjoying enormously sailing with Hampton Sides and Captain James Cook with The Wide, Wide Sea. It's the new book, Imperial Ambition, First Contact, and the Fateful Final Voyage of Captain James Cook. New Albion, named by Francis Drake. Hampton, where is New Albion, and what did Drake mean by naming it that, what you'd have to say, mocking term?
Mm-hmm. Well, Sir Francis Drake had been on that side of the planet centuries before Cook, and had climbed his way up the west coast of California, what we now call California, and had named it New Albion because that was a quaint Latin term, a Roman term for England. So he was basically calling it New England to thumb his nose at the Spanish, who claimed all of the Pacific and certainly claimed the California coast. So Cook was returning, the first Englishman to really return to this place that Drake had been to all those years prior, and to start his, you know, search for the Northwest Passage. His job is to start mapping the northwest coast of North America from about Oregon, what we call Oregon today, all the way up, and to try to duck into every inlet, every river, every harbor, every indentation, in the hopes that one of those is going to lead all the way across Alaska or Canada to the Atlantic Ocean. It's an insane thing when you think about the scope of his search, because we're talking about thousands of miles of coastline that he's charting. And he gives us the first glimpse of what that coastline looks like. Washington State, Vancouver Island, southern Alaska, working his way all the way up to, you know, the main part of Alaska, and then up through the Bering Sea and the Bering Strait and up and over Alaska even. It's unbelievable, the ambition and the scope of this search that he's prosecuting. He gives us our first glimpse of what it all really looks like.
Detail. Benjamin Franklin has told the Americans, if you come across Cook, do not harm him. Do not interrupt. The Spanish have a different message for their ship captains. What do the Spanish say, Hampton?
The Spanish are supposed to intercept him wherever they find him and arrest him and haul him down to Mexico City and put him in a dungeon. The Spanish are very jealous guardians of the Pacific Ocean, and they think it's all theirs. And they're not actively at war with the English, but they effectively are. They have been for centuries, of course, fighting this sort of colonial and imperial contest. Whereas the Americans, Benjamin Franklin issues this thing that says to all the captains in the American fleets, even though we're at war with England, the revolution is going on at this point. Do not harm him. Do not arrest him. He's on a scientific mission. He's doing work for humanity. Let him go in peace. So it's interesting that Benjamin Franklin viewed Cook in such friendly terms.
These are extremely dangerous waters, given that you can't see where you are. There's fog perpetually. And when it's not fogging, it's raining or it's snowy. Calling it foul weather is an understatement. The ships are beaten up badly. on the coast. And so they pull into what is called Nootka Bay, which sounds like paradise. Mm-hmm. These are the people called the Mawakat.
Mm-hmm. The Mawachat.
And Mawachat. And they treat Cook very well, and Cook's people treat them well.
Yes, there's another very good kind of first contact experience that happens there at Nootka Sound with the Mawachat. They trade. They get along quite well. There's no violence. Cook stays about a month there. He's got to do a lot of repairs to his ship. I mean, you have to understand, these ships are just, you know, forests of lumber. You know, all those clattering spars and sprits and booms and masts have to be repaired constantly. So they pull into Vancouver Island and have nothing but really great timber to work with. And they rebuild the ships over a whole month. And while they're at it, they have these first encounters with the native peoples of Vancouver Island. It's quite an experience. And I went there doing the research for the book and stayed a number of days and went kayaking there and met some of the descendants of those, the Mawachat. And it's something that's still talked about a good bit in the oral history of the First Nations there.
Up the coast of Alaska, we're looking for the Northwest Passage, which would be seawater leading inland to connect to Greenland. And Cook has knowledge of Greenland, the Inuit, and mm-hmm. he's looking for common cultural behavior. However, he also comes across large bodies of water. He can't tell whether they're going to lead or not. He's a very thorough man. He doesn't leave anything. He reminds me of writers I've known, such as myself. Even though you finish the sentence, you go back and back and back. And there's something particular about Cook that even though he knows he's on a false lead, this isn't going to work out. He sends Gore and Bly out to investigate two rivers that leave where he is because he wants to make sure in his report back to the Admiralty that he didn't miss the Northwest Passage.
Yeah, he's very thorough, and that kind of meticulousness, I think, is the kind of personality you have to be a map maker, which is really what his true love was, his true genius, his true expertise was making maps, and particularly mapping coastlines, which you have to do. It's a very perilous thing to do. You have to get close to shore, but you don't want to run up against the rocks. And sometimes he's trying to map in such foggy conditions that he only knows land is there because he can hear the walrus barking and braying on the rocks. You know, and that's some pretty dangerous charting to have to do. Everyone knows who's sailed in Alaska knows how treacherous those waters are. And visibility is often nil in that fog. But somehow we get from this expedition, our first true map of Alaska. It's got some gaps and some imperfections, but it's pretty much Alaska as we know it today. Amazing that he was able to accomplish that.
Through the Aleutian Island chain, through in Bristol Bay, to Norton Sound, all the way up, weaving in and out, looking for the Northwest Passage. And now we get to the dramatic moment, because he reaches the Bering Sea, finding their way blindly, really, because the Russian maps were either fantastic or deliberately deceptive. And he believes they found the opening, which we know is the separation between Alaska and Siberia. However, there's a few days on, there's a brightness in the sky. What is that, Hampton?
This is something that Cook recognizes immediately from the time he had spent north of Newfoundland. It's called the ice blink. And it is a phenomenon where sunlight bounces off of the ice pack and illuminates the underside of the clouds above. And he knew that what this meant was there's ice ahead. They're finally going to encounter ice. And that perhaps all those scientists who said, oh, seawater does not and cannot freeze, well, they're all wrong. And he does, sure enough, the next day encounter this impenetrable, implacable wall of very thick ice. And he realizes almost immediately, this dog ain't going to hunt. this is not going to work. We're not going to find the Northwest Passage. Certainly not here. And in fact, not only that, but we got to get the heck out of here because his ships were almost immediately going to be encircled by the ice and trapped in the ice. And he has to make a very quick exit to save his life. And if that had happened, if they'd been trapped in the ice, I don't think we would have heard from either of the two ships again.
Their choice now, do you winter in Kamchatka with the Russians, or do you think of your people and head for Tahiti or Hawaii? The book is Hampton Sides, The Wide, Wide Sea. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.